Good afternoon, everyone. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is January 14th, 2014. And today on my BBS radio show, I am introducing Jerry Yusko. Jerry Yusko is a personal friend of mine and also part of our Galactic Roundtable, and he's also a very special healer, but he communicates on a regular basis with the Planetary Council and has some incredibly special gifts. He was born with empathic abilities, and from the time he can remember, it has always guided him to assist other people in a very special way. He has very special experiences, which we will get into, within the angelic realm as well as the extraterrestrial realm, and he tries to teach other practitioners, healers, and people about their own gifts, about their own value. This is something that I found very refreshing about Jerry, is really trying to help the healers really be complete in their own gifts. And so as well as mending the physical ailments, he also assists in being the conduit of the metaphysical and the scientific research of extraterrestrial life. So we're going to get a little bit into that as well. He looks into your mind and he sees auras and elements of the past lives and the negative energies and present blockages that are preventing you from being all that you can be. And he can then move them while he is doing these incredible healings that he provides as a service. He does use imagery such as symbols and entities, angelic beings. He even works and interprets those images through the third eye, and he assists most importantly in helping you receive your spiritual gifts. So with no more time spent on bios, because everybody knows I don't like to spend too much time on bios, Jerry, welcome and thank you so much for coming on to this radio show.
Good afternoon, Alexandra. How are you doing today?
Very good. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good. And why are you doing so fantastically today?
Because I'm learning how to resolve my problems in life.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. I mean, everybody needs to know how to resolve problems in life easier and more expeditiously.
For me, I learned that when I can't handle something, I turn it over to Source. And from Source, my problems seem to be manifested away, and I'm doing very, very well.
Good. Good for you. I'm glad to hear it. Well, I thought we could start out, Jerry, with a little bit of just a basic history on you and your gifts when you were a young boy. Tell us a little bit about what it was like to be born with the empathic abilities that you have.
Wow. Hard question. When I was very young, I lived in Cuba, and there's where my first experience began, was extraterrestrials, and at birth, my experiences began with angelics. So I guess it'd be like this. The angelic beings came to save me because I was born with deficiencies. And so through their help and the doctors, they saved my life. I was considered a miracle baby, according to my mom, back for that time. And then when we were around 5 years old, when I was around 4 or 5, my father was in the service, the Navy, and we were stationed over in Cuba. And there's where my first remembrance of my extraterrestrial experience began.
Wow. You know, I didn't even know this. You know, I've known you now for, what, about a year? I've never even heard this story. So what happened? I mean, when you first had this extraterrestrial experience, was it really scary, or did you just have a knowing that they were there to help assist you?
The first encounter was my dad took me on patrol because he was an MP, and he would make the rounds of the bases. And one night when I was with him, we came to a four-way stop, and while he was waiting to go, outside of our windshield up to my right, I saw what was to be a witch. because that's the way my mind perceived it.
Right.
And it was there long enough for my dad to recognize it. And when it finally disappeared, I asked him what it was. He didn't know. He was just scared and nervous. And then as he started making his rounds, I fell asleep. And then when I finally did wake up, we were at the base, and I asked him how we got there, and he just told me that we drove. I don't even know if he remembered. And then from that point on, for the next year, I remember going to sleep and having visitations in my room. So I would either see skeletons, witches, owls. I'd see different entities that my mind would recognize because I didn't know what the grays were. It wasn't until later life that I realized that what I was visualizing were the grays.
Interesting. Now, isn't it true, Jerry, that excuse me, isn't it true that a lot of the children on military bases have this experience?
I have ran across another person in my lifetime that was stationed there at the same time I was, or my dad was, and he was also a military brat, as they called us.
Yes.
And he told me that he had basically the same experience where he'd be waking up seeing like skeletons or beings in his room as well. And our stories were very similar of how they took place.
Yeah, because they use the children of the military, especially if you are working with the Greys, they use the military children a great deal, according to a lot of the reports out there. So did you, I mean, at this point, once you became, you know, used to them visiting you, what happened? I mean, were you able to surpass any kind of fear or...
Yes, but the fear didn't go away until I got up into my, 10 to 12 years old. Because I can still remember them coming looking for me and everything else. I used to hide, or try to hide from them, which you can't do, but, you know, you put the covers over your head or you go hide underneath the bushes or whatever, and they could find you.
That's terrible. Do you feel that you were actually abducted?
Maybe at that time that would be the word that I would use, but not now.
Okay.
Because when I became a teenager, because I was spiritually guided as well, I learned to have a association with the Greys. I know my mentor and stuff, and... I used to get to the point that I could travel to their ships.
Wow.
I thought.
Very cool.
And I used to walk inside their ships because I didn't have. They didn't look at me as being a threat. One of the main things that the Greys used to do, and I think they do this to a lot of people, is they test you to find out what your threshold of killing something is.
Whoa. And why is that?
For me, it was to find out if I was aggressive or not. Would I be willing to do? And if I was a warrior type of person or more of a spiritual.
Wow.
And I was more of a spiritual, which worked to my best interest because... Down the road, I got to be able to fly their ships and stuff like that.
Oh, how cool.
They could be trusted.
How cool is that? Well, so it's almost like it was a scanning process, huh? I mean, you were able to convert this very scary experience into bridging a understanding with them, right?
Yes, but things change. As you get older with the Greys, I find out... The more I came into my own power, my own recognition of who I was, They're not always what they seem, I found out. And what I mean by that is they can give you false memories. They can give you false perception. They do care, I believe, about us because they do. I know you heard about hybrids and stuff like that. And I think what they do is they look for certain people with certain types of genome traits that they can implement into their cloning process. And for me, they wanted I hate to put it this way, but a higher vibrational spirit from my energy, in my genes, that when they cloned or had a hybrid child by me, it would have certain traits and attributes that they needed, that they themselves did not possess.
So are you a hybrid?
No, I'm a human being.
So if somebody else was to say that they thought that they were a hybrid, how would you define that? How would you see that on the etheric realm?
Because of my abilities, I can look at it two ways, and I have done this. One, I can see their DNA pattern, and I've actually seen people with different DNA structures than what I would consider a regular human.
Uh-huh.
And the second one is I've actually seen extraterrestrials in a person's etheric field of energy or within their minds.
Interesting. So let's talk a little bit about that. You know, a lot of people say that they are a Pleiadian or they are an Arcturian or they're, you know, you rarely hear anybody say they're a Gray. So what is the difference between being that versus seeing that in their field?
If I see it in their field, it normally means that they've had an encounter. Okay? And people don't realize that when you have encounters, it's a two-way street. If they're mentally communicating with you and you're doing things with like either Grays or the Palladians or whatever you're doing, you should be able to take that knowledge back with you and implement it into your physical reality instead of always being in an etheric or a dimensional reality.
Good point. So how do you teach people how to do that?
I empower people through the spirit so they can learn how to manifest what they already have. The reason why we can do that is because we already have these abilities. It's just a matter of bringing it back in.
Very good.
The other way is they claim that they are a Palladian or whatever. The easiest way for me to do it is to see what their DNA looks like. And when I do my healings and stuff, I do a reading and a healing. And normally I ask people what they want, and then I find out what they actually need. Because the spirit tells me what they need.
Right.
And then I can bring in that energy. But while I'm doing that, I can see different aspects of a human being. And sometimes I've seen that their DNA, the reason why they can't manifest their body and their spirits is because the DNA will either get tangled or it's been misaligning. In this sequence of coils. So it's almost like the two strands can't talk to each other. And I noticed right now that a lot of people are going through a lot of DNA changes. The highest I've seen on any one individual, I think, is like 16 strands. Most strands are 4 and 8.
Interesting. Wow. So talk to me a little bit about the DNA. How do you actually read people's DNA?
When I'm working with a person It's not reading. It's actually seeing it.
Okay.
Okay, and it's almost like DNA has a sequence of information through each strand of its, I guess it'd be called its cells. And when I'm working with someone, I always work with the root chakra. And just like a Kundalini experience, what will happen is I'll take the DNA, see it, start bringing the spiritual energy back into them from source and their higher self. And then this starts a chain process where I've actually seen two DNA strands actually start multiplying as I'm running energy into four.
Wow, fascinating.
And then you can start running it up to their back, and most of the time a person can feel it. Now, here's the problem. As I ran this up through their blocks, if people have blocks in their heart chakra or their throat chakra, or they're not fulfilling their whole destiny and they don't feel worthy, so let's say you get it all the way up to basically the crown and then it stops because they don't know who they are or their mission, the whole sequence can go away and I have to keep restarting. Most people don't have belief in their self, or they don't have the ability of truly understanding what we are evolving into. And that's the whole thing. At this point, the human race is going through a convergence of either evolving, which is gaining more knowledge and belief in their self, or ascending, where they've already were mass teachers and becoming masters, or they were masters and becoming a higher vibrational energy, which means that their bodies are losing less density mass.
Correct. Or becoming more silica.
Based. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll eventually be able to start manifesting like water into wine and stuff. I know that sounds crazy, but
no, it doesn't sound crazy to me.
Basically do it.
Bring it on!
and you can. As you know, I worked with you a few weeks ago.
Yes, yes. Tell people what you did to me.
Tell people what I did to you. I basically helped you acclimate your higher energy into your physical body.
Right, and I want everyone to know that this is apparently something that Jerry has found is an issue, because there's such a gap right now between the higher energies and the pristine essence of the spirit and the density of the body. So can you tell everybody a little bit about that process?
Imagine a cup that has dirt in it. Okay, the body is the same way. We have bacteria, viruses that are good and some are bad, and we don't need them. We have negative energy. We have other influences within our physical structure. What I basically do is I help, and I even teach a mantra for people to do this, to release all that negative energy so you can bring down the higher continuity of yourself. So basically what I'm doing is, for the sake of an argument, let's say the soul is in the body and the spirit is out. I try to merge the spirit and the soul to be in the same unification of the physical body, so we become completely as one.
Awesome. Basically that's our sovereign right, isn't it?
I believe it is.
Yeah.
Plus, it also teaches you how to become equal among all living other things, because there is no more fear.
That's beautiful, Jerry. That's outstanding. I think you and I, you know, one of the places that we talk often about is just assisting people in stepping into their mastery. And this is truly a gift that you have that you can bring forward to others. And I highly recommend that if you haven't experienced one of Jerry's healings, you can visit his website at www.theblending.net. and get a little bit of his background. But anyway, Jerry, getting back to that, talk a little bit about, you know, why the higher energies are having such a difficult time acclimating with the lower density body. You would think that in these times that the bridging of the two would just be automatic.
Good point. And this is where you're going to have to explain something.
Uh-oh.
One of the things that you did for me was you have found out, and through your oils and treatments and stuff, that we have a parasite that's basically in the back of our neck, and we need to get rid of them. So if you would like to talk about more about that, do you know what I'm talking about?
We're talking about the implant.
The implants, exactly.
Right.
Once you start relieving that, once you get that out of your system, the acclimation is a lot easier.
Yes, we found that too.
So if you'd like to talk about that for a moment.
Okay, because that fits in with what you do, is what you're saying?
Yeah, it really does.
Well, basically, a lot of people know we've stumbled upon this. This was not even something we were looking for. But what we have found is that most people have three of these, and they're etherically based. They're not a physical implant that you're going to go into the body and actually extract or do surgery on. And what we have found is these, and they are very parasitic. They have lived off of our energy fields and our emotional bodies and our mental bodies since the beginning, since we were incarnated. And we have also found that we can oftentimes carry the signature of those implants from lifetime to lifetime. So we have had people that have up to 10 of these, Jerry, in their body. It's unreal. And they're typically located in three core areas and then kind of scattered about throughout the body. And when Pam extracts those, one thing that she has said is once the last one is eradicated and we send it back to the light, the entire body literally lights up. So I don't know. Does that help?
No, it really does, because here again, I deal with the etheric body, and I've seen extraterrestrials, I've seen angels in them, I've seen past life experiences, all kinds of stuff. I think the beauty of what I am able to do is I get to witness different parts of your creation.
Wow.
So if you're a Roman soldier or something, I actually get to see that time period through your spirit. And what you were just talking about, I found out even when I try to help people, unless that block is removed, it's like always a disconnect. Like there's always going to be a short.
Interesting.
So I think what you do is tremendous work and very beneficial.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm not trying to plug you or anything. I'm just saying that I can see
we don't plan any
certain
of
things.
Yeah. Yeah, because you worked on Steve and me that night. And that was a very profound healing. And it's kind of what motivated me, guys, all of you people listening. It's what motivated me to pull him onto the radio show, because I felt like the type of work that he does is so pristine and so unique. And you know what, Jerry, with that said, let's get a little bit into how you discuss with people whether they are more leaning towards an extraterrestrial sort of, you know, affinity versus an angelic affinity. Why do you do that, and what is the advantage of it?
At one time, I used to ask people what they wish to evolve in knowledge, and extraterrestrial, their star family, are the angelic. And I found out from working with a lot of people and plus my own self that the energy signatures there is a difference between extraterrestrials and angelic. And they both have their own work that they do. And the main difference between the two is whenever I worked with extraterrestrials, I found out that they have a density of a body. Where angelics, they have a density of body, but it's more of an energy body. The one thing that I do, if I find that a person has an extraterrestrial star family in them right now, I literally will cast them out of the person's body. And I'll turn off implants if it is necessary. Sometimes I leave them on depending on where they're at and what they're doing. But right now, since we're evolving, we need to evolve into our own identity of spirit without influence from extraterrestrial influence.
So you're helping people stand really strong in their own independence.
In their own light.
Yeah, in their own light. Good point.
Yeah, you can't ascend if you're still attached to other vibrational energies that do not belong to you.
Wow.
You can't become your own master. You become a master by understanding the different energies because you understand your own identity of energy. You understand where you are in source at the time of creation again.
Wow. I think I'm speechless for a moment. Well, one of the things that I thought was really profound when you were working on me was you said you kept asking me to go back to my original point of creation. And I kept showing you like a scarab. You know, talk a little bit about that. Is that a fairly normal thing that we get lost and we forget where our original point of creation is?
I think that's a false illusion. I think that we always know, but we are so conditioned in this world to live by certain creeds mm-hmm. of ethics, even if they're not always true unto our own self belief. And what I mean by that is we can see injustice, but we don't always prevent it from happening.
Mm. Good point.
Okay. At least not the mass majority.
Correct.
Okay. And when I asked you to go back to your origination point, 90 to 100% of the time, or 90% of the time, when I read people, most people identify themselves with lower life forms.
Mm.
They'll see themselves as insects or some kind of bird. But rarely do they see themselves as a true spiritual guardian or a true angel of light. They won't even recognize themselves as their true own star family because they're so caught up in the mundane world of existence that we look at things as survival. And what I'm seeing in them is our bodies are acting in a survival mode, just like a insect would or a bird would or something. But we don't see ourselves as the true energies or benevolent beings that we can be. And what I help do is when I say go back to your point of origin, is bring that back in so you can start manifesting a higher vibrational energy for your physical being. Learn to become one again so you can manifest what you need and want out of life.
Wow. Jerry, that's beautiful.
Well, thank you. It's where we're headed. I truly believe that the human race is heading to become more Christ-like beings.
Yeah.
But we need to, but also in that, I like right now I'm preparing my body to become lighter in density, so my next incarnation I won't have to go through the same learning process that I did now. I will already step into a mastery because the body will be able to handle the energy that I'm able to create.
Very good point. And so that's like something we really need to be focusing on is bridging the gap between the higher energies of the spiritual body and the lower densities of the physical body. Because I guess that gap is becoming more pronounced because of the blanketing of light. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
Okay.
You know, look at the world right now. It's amazing. Here we are. We're going through a time of ascension. And yet at the same time, we've had a war going on for, what, almost 11, 12 years?
Yeah. Well, when have we not had a war going on in some part of the globe?
That's true, but shouldn't we at this time be creating peace around the world instead
of... Absolutely.
So everyone has a chance of being on the same equal footing and page of ascension?
Yes. Yes, I agree.
You know, and I don't know if you realize this, but do you know how many military personnel commit suicide?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have heard about that. I'm not aware of the statistics.
Yeah, and then when they even come back, luckily we're starting to take care of our vets. But even they are going through an ascension process, and the thing is when the spirit is starting to evolve, we start questioning what we believe to be right and wrong.
Correct. And you have to be open and willing to allow those new opportunities and beliefs to dismantle the old belief foundations.
Very true. And that's why I found out that one of the hardest things for people to accept, even though they're changing slowly, is the new paradigm shifts. There are a lot of old paradigms that have been taught that no longer will serve what we are becoming.
Yes. Oh, boy, I agree. Especially, I do a lot of that kind of work as well, and I see it a lot. You know, even with the implant removal, we're providing them with a clean slate. And unless they really mentally and emotionally get that, they can't fully take advantage of it. They won't, I should say. They can, but they don't fully take advantage of the gift that they've been given.
And there's the beauty of what I do is
yes.
I help them reconnect back into their spirit and connection to back to source.
Yes. And so, you know, another reason, folks, that I've brought him forward is because Jerry and I are going to do whatever we can to work together to provide you any other solutions that are needed at the time, whether you get your implants out or not. But we are learning a lot about the body since this is such a new thing, having people have their implants removed. It's a very new concept out there. So, now, Jerry, tell us a little bit about the way that the dark is trying to keep us from stepping into our light.
One is through economics. At this time, if you wish to keep a person from evolving, you try to keep them in fear. And if you can't control them through fear, you control them through... as I call it, giving them 30 pieces of silver a week.
Mm.
And basically, people are very, for the most part, people are very loving. They really do care. But because we need to survive, because we have a 3D body and we haven't learned to manifest what we can truly create, we still live in a paradigm of giving up our control for the belief that someone else can protect us. And that's an old thing that's been going from the beginning of time. It's real simple. As long as you have a roof over your head, enough money to survive, and can pay for your daily bread, most people are content.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is it's not truly fulfilling within the spirit.
No.
It's just survival.
Correct.
And what I've looked and seen, there are more and more people coming together because the government took away our survival for a while. And the funny thing is when they crashed the banks and stuff, they came to us, the American taxpayers, to bail them out instead of living up to their own belief system that said, if a corporation fails, then let it go down.
Yeah, that doesn't apply to any governmental agencies.
But it wasn't even the government. It was the federal banks that went down because they misappropriated their money. And we ended up paying the cost for it.
Well, that's a whole other discussion. But
that's true.
You know,
but that's manipulation, and that is why you ask about the dark. That's how they control, because you set up things slowly, and you see what works and doesn't work. And people are very easy to manipulate. I hate to say that, but when people don't believe that they have their own power, and I mean spiritual power, it is easier to be, it's easier to follow than it is to lead.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But when you come into your own power, like doing what you're doing, doing what I'm doing and other healers are doing, and you say enough is enough, it's amazing what our minds can do when we get together.
Very true. Very true. And we would love for every person on this planet to have that experience.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's my dream. You know, to see people, to see people realize their full worthiness.
Well, I look at it this way. The human race has to change. If we wish to walk among our star families or even the angelics, we need to change our perception of not only how we see each other, but how we truly manifest in our love for each other so we can love our star family without fear, because we learn to become equal to each other.
Well, I agree, and you know, not to digress, but one of the reasons I asked you that question is the other day you mentioned to me something about sonar attacks. Can you tell the audience a little bit about the heads up with that and how to protect yourself from it?
Yeah. I think you were with me at the time we were having dinner.
Yes.
Or lunch or something. And as you know, sometimes I just blank out.
And boy, does he ever. He basically will be sitting there talking to me, and then he looks up to his right. He doesn't hear anything I'm saying, and he is literally teleported into another galaxy at a planetary galactic meeting. That's pretty right on, isn't it, Jerry?
Yes. And it doesn't just happen with you. It happens with other people, too. So I...
It's his reputation.
Yeah. Yeah. But because of who I am, I'm called on certain things.
Right.
And one of the things that they're doing now is they're going to start using sonic weaponry to start influencing people, change their brain chemistry, causing disorientation, keeping us off balance because they can throw off the equilibrium in the ear and stuff like that.
Now, Jerry, how is this different than HARP, for example?
Because now they can do it a couple of ways. They can actually make sonic guns.
Mm.
So could you imagine a military weapon whereby you can have, like a drone, for example, fly over and beam down a frequency and it doesn't have to disturb the whole population. You could just hit certain areas of it. Or you have sonic weaponry whereby you can go in and take out people because you can hit them with a sound wave that basically shatters their eardrums.
Jeez. So what not to, you know, everybody knows I'm real big on not instilling fear. We're powerful enough to overcome this, are we not? What's a good way to do so?
For right now, oh, and there is one other thing. I also heard that with new chemtrails,
mm-hmm.
they are using lasers to reflect down sound as well. Now, I'm not how sure that information is, but I've heard something like that too.
Well, they've really upped the chemtrails. I mean, just since I interviewed Cobra last week, our skies are literally blanketed now. I almost wish I hadn't even said anything. Because I know in other parts of the world they're still getting that. But it was fairly nice and clean here for a couple days. You and I even mentioned that, you know, 4 or 5 days.
Yeah. Oh, as far as the sonic weapons, I don't know if you noticed this, but I used to get two different pitches in my ears. One was a high pitch, and some people would call that angels, and then some was a vibrational pitch, and some people could call that that there was an extraterrestrial ship around somewhere, which meant communication. But now there's another pitch that comes in. It almost seems external, and it's a mid-range pitch, or kind of like a lower pitch. And literally feels like it's going through my head. And what I do is I ask Source to take away anything that is harmful to my physical body, to remove the sounds that would be causing this temple harm of his creation.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically ask for that sound to be removed. Okay. If that sound is causing any physical harm to me, and it is. So the sound will just disappear.
Good. So see, folks, that's how simple it is. I mean, instead of reacting to the information out there, observe it. You know, observing is just staying in a neutral position. And once, you know, Jerry, it's just like you were saying, once we recognize the power within, which, you know, for a millennia we've been programmed not to, but once we step into that, none of this stuff is ever going to affect us again.
Oh, very true. And that's the beauty of us becoming evolved in our knowledge. And basically the difference between being an evolved spirit and an ascending spirit to me is people right now that are waking up and going, wow, there's more to life than just making my daily living, going to work and coming home. I want to learn the spirit of what I can actually create and do and what's out there. Can I become a healer? Can I become what type of metaphysical person can I become? Because some people are just waking up and they find out that they have newfound abilities. That's evolving to me.
Yes, very
okay.
much so.
The other part is the teachers that have been teaching for a lot of lifetimes, they're actually ascending, which means that the physical body is becoming more of a temple. And I look at it like for myself, I'm becoming more of a light being because that's what I wish to become.
Yes.
So I'd be called what some people would describe as a rainbow of light. But once you understand light, you do understand the creation of the universe.
Wow. So now when you talk about light and understanding it, what exactly is it that you feel that we need to understand?
As you know, light has different spectrums. If you put it into a prism, you can break down the different colors of it.
Yeah.
And each one of those colors have different coding in it, different information to be able to create the manifestation of this world. I guess we would call it the matrix. I don't look at the universe as being a matrix. But understanding how the building blocks of the universe are put together comes from the creation of light in my beginning. The way I think anyway. I said my beginning, but I believe I came from light. And that's what I will go back to.
That's beautiful, Jerry. Now, you know, speaking of light, talk to us a little bit about how is the human different than the other species out there. For example, we had a conversation one day and you blew my mind, and you were talking about how we have these multidimensional feelings that are very unique to other races and civilizations. Can you talk a little bit about that for a few minutes?
What separates us from most of the races are human beings have the complexity of being angry and sad at the same time. We have to learn love, but we have an instant understanding of hate, even if we don't act upon it. It's very easy to say, I hate you. It's a little bit harder to say, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And for a race that's been that's evolved for millions of years, when they say they love you, that's it, point blank. But if we say that we love someone, we could mean it in different ways. I mean, I can say I love you, Alexander, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't love you in the same way that I would love someone else.
Right, right.
And that's very complex to some of the races out there.
Interesting, because it's like a spectrum, like light.
Yes, but that's the beauty of being human. And that's what I'm saying. If we could start remembering our origins, the things that we can do are incredible.
I didn't mean to cut you off. You said something about, the races are very interested in this. The other races?
Yes, because look at where we are right now. We have two ways of developing, supposedly. One is we can go into more of a gray type of continuity whereby we let our technology and everything take over our emotional beings by becoming integrated into our technology.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can go to a more higher spiritual nature and become more benevolent. To me, I wish to become more benevolent. I'm not a... I'd rather be able to use my mind to calm a barking dog than to pull out a gun because of fear and shoot it.
Correct.
And the more fear you have, I think sometimes the more you are prone to act in a self-preservation mode.
Yeah, very good point. And then, therefore, you're going towards survival instincts instead of working off of your spiritual bodies.
Right, which is basically the reptilian part of us, which is why I see in most people the lower forms of energy of what people believe that they are. Like I said, I see people, when I see like a bee in someone, in their energetic field, it means that they're really busy. They go out and they have to harvest it, and then they bring back and they create a nest, but they're never part of anything whole.
Mm.
They just believe that they have to, that's the way that they survive at that point. And can that change? Yes. That's why when I worked on you, I kept telling you to go back to your origin because you were stuck in a belief system of survival.
Mm-hmm.
And when you become spirit, you let things go and they just take care of themselves.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it was beautiful. And we are getting to the top of the hour, Jerry, so I want to make sure we introduce how people can reach you. Can you go ahead and give them your email address?
jfox1@gmail.com. Okay. So that'd be jfox1@gmail.com.
And your website again is?
Theblending.net.
Perfect. And so, Jerry would be more than happy to assist anybody out there that's feeling that they want to bridge this gap between really starting to experience this evolutionary process, really opening up to the lighted, illumined, spiritual part of you, and being able to align that with your physical body. In fact, Jerry, just really quickly, I mean, isn't this one of the things that was an issue for Christ when he was born, supposedly why the three magi came and offered him gold, frankincense, and myrrh is because his spirit was so massive that it had a very difficult time incarnating into a physical form.
Yeah, which we need to get into another subject, which goes into the bloodline.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that we have been inherited.
Yes.
And that's why we didn't get into it, but at this point in time, there is no karma. There are no contracts because of our ascension process cannot be held to a continuity of energy between each other if we are on a spiritual path to source.
Beautiful.
It's also the reason why we can walk equally among the different races without fear. And I can't believe how fast this hour went because there's so much more to talk about.
You know what we'll do is why don't we share with the audience, maybe we'll just do it next week and share with the audience the Christ bloodline. And what does that really imply to each of us individually? Are you game for that?
Oh, yeah. And then I could talk about, and this is going to go against modern concept, but when you really become into the spirit, there's another way of baptizing.
Wow.
Which is through the energy, or which is through the light of Christ, and you bring it up through Mother Guinan.
Oh my
Because you always hear people say, imagine light, you know, going down to the earth, to the center of the core, and all like that. Some people use light, but at the same time, you can bring in the light of Christ to be able to filter it through the whole physical body. And I've done that with some people when I found out that they've had. When they don't understand what they're doing, they play in the darkness and they get demonic possessions in them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much. I mean, wow. Even the adventure of wanting to make contact this coming year.
Yes. Yes. Well, I tell you what, folks. We'll go ahead and have Jerry on again for next week. I'm always loving it to just be in the flow and do spontaneous things. So, Jerry, I tell you what, I am so grateful to have you not only as a friend and a fellow mentor, but you are a phenomenal healer, and I just wanted to introduce you to the world, and I thank you for all you've done for me, and I thank you ahead of time for what you can do for the others that reach out to you.
Oh, thank you so much, Alexander. It was a pleasure being able to do this, and thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And thanks, everybody, for listening, as usual. I love you all. You are an awesome audience, as I say all the time. I love your emails. Just thank you for all your support and, you know, just giving me the impetus to keep going with my crazy, crazy workload. But we'll go ahead and have Jerry on next week, and let's get into the Christ bloodline and what that means to each of us. So, thank you, and have a wonderful afternoon and the rest of the week. And we'll talk to you soon.
Goodbye.
Bye, Jerry. Take care.